Korea Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Many of us are familiar with the red brick monastery in Mount Elliott Street in Detroit. It was the home of Father Solanus Casey for many years. The Capuchins have taken up the centuries-old process leading to canonization. Today, the story of Father Solanus Casey. Solanus Casey. The Wisconsin of 1870 was still almost frontier when the sixth child of Bernard and Ellen Casey was born on a frigid November 25th in a three-room log cabin on the banks of the Mississippi. He was christened Bernard Jr., but Barney was his father's nickname from County Monaghan in the north of Ireland. And Barney he became to his 15 brothers and sisters. Through his mother, Barney developed an early devotion to the rosary. Two of his brothers also became priests. In its frontier isolation, the family grew close as it grew larger. When young Barney left school in the eighth grade to help support the large Casey clan, he was already used to long, hard hours in the fields. The youngster found work as a logger. Next came a part-time job at a prison where he befriended two of the most infamous outlaws of the day, Jim and Cole Younger, brothers who rode with the Jesse James gang, and met their fate when citizens greeted them with blazing guns during the Great Northfield, Minnesota robbery. At 21, and with only an eighth grade education, Barney Casey took a step he had thought about for some time. He entered St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. But his handicap was immediately evident. Classes were almost entirely in German and Latin, and young Casey, despite his constant efforts, never quite overcame the language difficulties. After four hard years, he was asked to leave the seminary. There seemed to be some doubt among his superiors that he could master theology, but they were also convinced of his devotion and urged him to continue his pursuit of a vocation. Barney returned home at 25, disappointed and unsure of his life. But near the end of the year, an event occurred that set him on his course. He decided to make a novena for guidance to the Mother of God, to end on her feast day. During the feast day Mass, he became intensely aware of the presence of the Mother of God. At the same time, he was distinctly conscious of the command as coming from her, "Go to Detroit." The simple directive could have only one meaning. The Capuchin order at that time was the only religious order for men with a novitiate in Detroit. The command meant, therefore, join the Capuchins. On a blustery Christmas Eve, 1896, Bernard Francis Casey Jr. knocked on the door of the red brick monastery on Mount Elliott Street in Detroit and stepped in from the cold to confront his future. As he plunged into the sacrifices of his novitiate, young Casey still found himself stymied by the academic obstacle course and by his old nemesis, German and Latin. He was sent back to Milwaukee, this time to the Capuchin Seminary, but he managed to hang on. In June 1904, candidates for the priesthood were being considered. It should have been Brother Solanus' crowning moment, the culmination of his 12-year struggle, but it became instead a crushing defeat. The seminary authorities decided Solanus would be ordained, but only as a simplex priest, one who could say Mass, but who, because of his drawbacks, was banned from preaching the gospel and absolving sins. Perhaps it was a providential decision. Being denied the confessional meant that he could spend all his time in the office with people and was not taken away from them by other duties. Father Solanus said his first Mass on July 31, 1904. 5 days later, he arrived at his first assignment at the Sacred Heart Friary in Yonkers, New York. For the next 14 years, he fulfilled the duties of sacristan in charge of the altar boys and the Ladies' Altar Society. In 1921, Father Solanus Casey was moved again, this time to Our Lady of the Angels in nearby Harlem. Father Solanus had not been in Harlem for long when people began reporting stunning recoveries from all sorts of illnesses, quick solutions to seemingly insoluble problems, sudden conversions, even success in business ventures. The sudden surge of interest and the unusual happenings were hard to ignore. So the Capuchin's Father Provincial, on a visit to Our Lady of the Angels in November 1923, ordered Father Solanus to begin keeping a record of the special favors being claimed. Frustratingly brief, often cryptic, the notes eventually filled 7 ledgers with more than 6,000 entries. About 700 of these remarked on prayers answered or cures reported. The doctors are baffled, cried for joy at her recovery, and other such phrases are sprinkled through the ledgers. Unfailingly, such entries were emphasized with a Deo Gratias. Within months after he started his recording keeping, Father Solanus was transferred again, this time to St. Bonaventure's. The long-ago call of the Blessed Mother to go to Detroit had been heeded. Father Solanus' greatest work was just beginning. In those days, the neighborhood around St. Bonaventure's on Mount Elliott Street in Detroit was a tight-knit Irish and German area. As with such neighborhoods, the church was the hub of community life. Father Solanus fit in perfectly. Almost immediately, the friars found their quiet monastery a buzz of visitors waiting sometimes for hours for a few words with the reedy-voiced, frail new friar who listened with unending patience and compassion to their troubles. At any given time, there might be 15 or 20 people sitting there waiting to talk to him. Sometimes he hardly had time to eat, but he never complained, and he gave each person all the time he needed. This meant that Father Solanus himself often spent 18 hours a day in that office. Whenever anyone was sick, they wanted Father Solanus to come see them, bless them, and pray for them, because it seemed most of those people got well. He didn't think he did anything out of the ordinary. He usually would recommend that people go to Mass a little more often, not just on Sunday, receive Holy Communion more often, pray a little more. The Depression and the establishment of a soup kitchen at St. Bonaventure's brought Father Solanus into even greater prominence. And he was the reason for the soup kitchen. People were coming into the office hoping he could help them find jobs. He could see they were hungry, so he started asking Brother Cook to prepare big pots of soup to take to the office. It just grew from there. Before long, they had to turn the third order hall into a soup kitchen and were feeding 2,500 people a day. One day they were feeding a long line of people and were running out of bread. So one of the ladies asked Father Solanus to go to the kitchen and bless the bread. He said, "That's not necessary." He made the sign of the cross in the direction of the kitchen. The lady went back, and when they finished feeding the people, she said that the same amount of bread was still there as when she went to ask for the blessing. During the last year of his life, when he was very sick, people tried constantly to see him. At times, he would just say, "I'll pray for them." But at other times, he would send them very detailed instructions, such as making some small sacrifices, going to Mass, or praying for the poor souls. People began to see a pattern in this, and it puzzled them. If he just said he would pray for someone, usually that person didn't get better, but the ones to whom he gave the detailed instructions usually recovered. Somehow he seemed to know what would happen. A very young priest who lived in Detroit used to come by the monastery when Father was on duty and got up and kneeled down for his blessing. Father Solanus would always give it and then kneel down in front of that priest and ask for his blessing. To others, it was always a touching sight to see that old man, so holy and good, kneel down so humbly. Sometimes he would spend all night in the chapel praying. There are many stories about him kneeling there until he simply fell over from exhaustion. He was so occupied with people all day that it was hard for him to get any rest. So whenever there was a break, he would lie down on the chapel floor for a short nap of 5 or 10 minutes. Then he'd jump up and go back to meeting the people until 11 or 12 at night. One of the stories told about Father Solanus was this, by a woman, Mrs. Marilyn Berry. She said, "When our son Michael was 8 weeks old, he was what diagnosed as a kind of stroke. It left him paralyzed on his right side and blind. When we brought him home from the hospital, the doctors told us to just take care of him, that there was nothing we could do. One of the doctors suggested we put Mike in an institution because he would be such a burden to us. We'd been around the monastery and had heard the stories about Father Solanus for years. We took Mike to the monastery, and I laid him on Father Solanus' grave with one of Father's relics pinned on him. From then on, he just gradually got better. It was nothing immediate, but about 8 months after we took him to the grave, we noticed him improving. I feel my son was cured. I feel he was helped by Father Solanus." Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story came from Catholic Digest magazine and was written by Paul Cody. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
When was the last time you heard from your financial advisor? Jim and Stacy from Faith Investment Services aren't hiding. They've met with their clients every 6 months, regardless of what's going on. Jim and Stacy know the best way to show their clients they're looking out for them is by establishing a line of communication, especially during tense times like right now. You need that for your investments. If you haven't heard from your financial advisor, call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services right now. There's no catch, no cost, and no obligation. Jim and Stacy want to help you get the things you really need right now. Answers and peace of mind. Call 1-800-529-9434. Talk with Jim or Stacy at Faith Investment Services. That's 1-800-529-9434 or visit morallydirected.com.
Securities offered through Next Financial Group Inc.